Now to our week-long Texas Decides project. We've been partnering with public radio stations across the state and answering your questions about the March 6th primary elections. Tonight's subject, how political district maps are drawn. The Supreme Court will decide three cases on partisan gerrymandering, including one from Texas. At issue, is drawing congressional districts to favor one political party over another unconstitutional? A listener asked us, what can citizens do about gerrymandering? Andrew Schneider with Houston Public Media gets some answers.
Gerrymandering itself is almost as old as the Republic, but for the first 200 years, it was more art than science. Drawing districts involved a lot of guesswork about where a party's supporters live. Guess wrong, and you spread your support too thin. A small swing of the vote could sweep you out of power. But technology has made it more accurate.
The computer modeling has gotten so much better with respect to the ability to be able to draw these districts so precisely that they become safe seats.
Charles Rocky Rhodes, a constitutional law professor at South Texas College of Law Houston, says that's a major reason the Supreme Court is finally taking up the question.
Even in a gerrymandered district, in order for the courts to be able to review whether perhaps the gerrymander is somehow unconstitutional, it helps to see what has been the impact of the gerrymander on individual voting rights.
For that, let's look to North Carolina. In 2016, just over half of the voters there chose Republicans. But North Carolina ended up electing 10 Republican congressmen and just 3 Democrats. Still, even if the justices impose limits on gerrymandering, that may not make new districts much more competitive. Elizabeth Seamus studies electoral behavior at the University of Houston.
There was a great map recently that showed Texas divided by counties and partisan competition within counties. And it's really not competitive. Counties tend to be either red or blue. I mean, they're not subject to the same kind of manipulation that our House districts are.
If your party happens to be in the minority, there's a natural tendency to look at political maps and get discouraged. Cal Gilson, a political scientist at Southern Methodist University, says that's a mistake. He says the first thing citizens can do to address the problem of gerrymandering is to show up to vote.
Elections are contests of strength between the two major political parties. So if you're a Democrat in a Republican district, you've got to get out there and work to keep your Democratic ticket competitive. If you're a Republican in a Democratic urban district, for example, you've got to show the flag as well and get out there.
The second thing citizens can do is run for office. Gerrymandering may make it tougher for one party to win a seat in Congress, but the odds drop to zero if the party doesn't put someone on the ballot. Elizabeth Seamus of the University of Houston says that happens all too often.
In Texas, we see a lot of just non-competitive races, non-competitive in the sense that they don't have a viable challenger to the opposition. Candidates are the ones ultimately who can inspire people to go out and give them that glimmer of hope.
That theory will get a test this fall. Of the state's 36 congressional districts, 32 will have candidates from both major political parties. In Houston, I'm Andrew Schneider.